Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
President-elect Barack Obama, bless us so that we might follow and we might truly make the time when your kingdom might come here on earth.
Congratulations. All of my gay friends, I'm like, when are you getting married? I want weddings.
It is a cultural war as critical to the kind of nation we shall be as the Cold War itself, for this war is for the soul of America.
I am absolutely convinced that culture wars are just so 90s. Their days are growing dark. It is time to turn the page. We want a new day.
Well, of course, the fallout and the dust all still settling from Tuesday's election. People trying to figure out what exactly happened. And I imagine this will give political pundits and political analysts months and months and months of data to pore over and to analyze and to finally draw their conclusions. And it begins early. We do want to know what happened, why it happened, and in particular, I'm curious about the role of religious voters in the presidential election. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Thursday afternoon, November the 6th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org. We're going to be talking with Greg Smith from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life about religious voters in the presidential election. After that, Doug Johnson from National Right to Life will be our guest. We'll talk about Tuesday's election and the future of pro-life legislation at the federal level. And Mike Riddle will join us from Answers in Genesis in the last part of the program to talk about carbon dating, a big question people have in the creation-evolution debate. Earlier today, I spoke with Greg Smith, a research fellow for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. I began the interview by asking Greg, did President-elect Barack Obama bridge the religion gap?
Well, that's a good question, and the answer kind of depends on how you define the religion gap. On the one hand, Obama made gains among nearly every religious group if we compare the 2008 election to the 2004 election. Most notably, he made big gains among people who are unaffiliated with any particular religion. Three-quarters of that group voted for Obama, up 8 points over 2004. Obama also made big gains among Catholic voters. A majority of them voted for Obama this year, whereas a majority voted for Bush in 2004. And Obama also made gains, a little bit smaller, but gains nonetheless among other religious groups, including white evangelical Protestants. So in that sense, he did better among most religious groups than did John Kerry. In terms of bridging the gap, however, the data also show that religious voters, people who tend to be quite religious in their observance, remain quite distinct from people who are less religious in their outlook. For instance, in 2004, people who attend worship services at least weekly voted overwhelmingly for Bush over Kerry, especially when compared with people who attend less often. That remains true in 2008. So in that sense, the gap between the less religious and the more religious, no, has not narrowed very much.
Those gains, did it appear that that Senator Obama, that it made a difference, the shift toward him, even slight though it may be, in religious voters? Did it make a difference in any key states?
I'm not sure. I have not been able to analyze on a state-by-state level the impact of switches or changes in the voting habits of various religious groups, but I can say if you just look at the nation overall, the thing that's most striking to me is the broad base of Obama's gains. They really occurred everywhere compared with 2004, and obviously that did make a difference.
How did Roman Catholics play into this? They are often ignored by the popular media as a factor in religious voting, but they seem to be rather significant in presidential politics.
Well, they certainly are. Catholics are often identified as a key group of swing voters, and this year they held true to form. If we go back to 2000, Catholics voted in favor of Gore over Bush by a very slim margin, 50 to 47. In 2004, they switched, supported Bush over Kerry by a 5-point margin. This year, they flipped back to the Democratic column. They voted for Obama over McCain, 54 to 45. Now, I can say a couple things, look a little bit deeper at those numbers in a couple of ways. One thing that's interesting is that Obama's gain among white Catholics is smaller than is his gain among Catholics overall. And that suggests to me that non-white Catholics, minority Catholics, most likely Latino Catholics, were playing a large role in Obama's gains this year. And we know that if we just look at Latinos overall, that they voted much more heavily in favor of Obama as compared with 2004 and their vote for Kerry. The other thing I'd point out that's really interesting about Catholics is that over the last couple of election cycles, Catholics who attend Mass weekly, on at least a weekly basis, have been more likely than other Catholics to favor the Republican candidate for president. And they've been more likely to vote for the Republican than for the Democrat. In 2000, for instance, weekly Mass-attending Catholics voted for Bush over Gore, 53 to 44. In 2004, the margin was even larger. They voted for Bush over Kerry, 56 to 43. This year, that group is divided right down the middle. 49% of weekly mass attending Catholics voted for Obama. 50% voted for McCain. That's a pretty interesting shift.
What do you think that means? That is very interesting.
Well, I think it reflects the fact that Obama's gains are very broad-based. They did not occur, as was the case in 2006, I should mention, simply among the constituencies that have historically been most Democratic. He did make gains among traditionally Democratic constituencies, among, for instance, unaffiliated voters and among people who do not attend religious services particularly often. But he also made gains among the more religious voters. For instance, if we just look at people overall, voters overall who attend church on a weekly basis, Obama picked up 4 points over Kerry's performance in 2004. And his gains were even bigger among the very most frequent attenders. People who attend worship services more than once a week were 8 points more likely to vote for Obama as compared with Kerry 4 years ago.
Do you think that's probably in the long run more significant an indicator than whether or not generally across the board Senator Obama appears to be narrowing the religion gap?
Well, I think that, as I mentioned, I think it's a little too early to say that we're seeing a narrowing of the religion gap because white evangelical Protestants, for instance, remain very distinct compared with the unaffiliated. People who attend church once a week remain very distinct from people who attend church less often. So I'd hesitate to say that we're seeing a narrowing of the religion gap. It is true that Obama did better among a variety of religious groups, but religious groups remain pretty distinctive. And as far as future trends, I think we'll just have to wait and see if this is the beginning of a trend or if it's a more of an anomaly. Too early to tell.
The research seems to indicate that in almost every case, the composition of the electorate in general is becoming ever more religious with every presidential cycle. Do you think that we will see this trend continue?
I don't know that I would agree that that's what we're seeing. This year, if we compare the makeup of the electorate to 2004, we see that there was a slight increase in the number of in the proportion of voters who are white evangelical Protestants, from 20% in 2004 to 23% this year. Beyond that, however, there really isn't much change in terms of the religious makeup of the electorate. We see the same thing if we look at church attendance. There's actually been people who attend church more than once a week make up a slightly smaller portion of the electorate in 2008 compared with 2004. But beyond that category, there really isn't much change in the religious composition of the electorate.
So should we be talking about really an attendance gap when we're talking about religious voters, rather than generally speaking of a religion gap for candidates or for parties?
Yeah, I think both things come into play. We know that religious affiliation, the groups to which people belong, that's quite important. I mean, members of evangelical denominations have beliefs and about social and political topics and have candidate preferences that are quite distinctive from other groups. But at the same time, we also know the question of religious observance, the question of the overall level of religiosity, if you will, of various groups makes a difference too.
Greg Smith is a research fellow for the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life based in Washington, D.C. You can read their report, How the Faithful Voted, under the on-demand section of our website, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Greg, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking about Tuesday's election and the future of federal pro-life legislation. Douglas Johnson of National Right to Life will be our guest. One of the things we have to find out from Doug is about this Freedom of Choice Act. Barack Obama, about a year ago, speaking to Planned Parenthood, a fundraising organization for Planned Parenthood, promised one of the first things he was going to do if he gained the president's office was sign the Freedom of Choice Act. What will that mean for pro-life legislation already on the books? What will it mean for the future of any pro-life legislation during an Obama administration? Doug Johnson will answer that question for us right after this. 1-877-623-6943. Or talk back at issuesetc.org.
Pro-life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support Issues, etc.
In a culture that has forgotten about the truth of God, God's people need to stand upon His word firmly and faithfully. Issues, etc., raises the questions that are in discussion in our society and in our church today in a way that highlights the truth of God amid all the error and the falsehood of men. This is a program that is making a difference in our society, in our church, in our culture, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. by making an online gift today. issuesetc.org, and click Donate. You can also contribute by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, etc.
President Bush highlights adoption.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Since November is National Adoption Month, President Bush has issued a special statement praising efforts to place children in loving homes. He said, "Families who adopt show the generous spirit of our nation. Every child desires a permanent, loving home, and when parents adopt a child as their own, lives are forever changed. During National Adoption Month, we honor adoptive and foster parents as they raise children of conviction and character. I call upon all Americans to honor adoptive families and to participate in efforts to find homes for waiting children."
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org. That's sba-list.org.